gets rolling full speed.
Yeah, it really is. And to have this opening show, and I have to say that I've tried to describe this, and I have not done it, but it's like I was going to school for the first time, going to class, first day of school. I had nervous energy. Coach Grant Taft, the legendary Grant Taft, joins us. Coach, was me having energy, that nervous energy, isn't that what you want before a game?
Absolutely. When you were talking, my mind flashed to, you know, the experience that athletes have. My experience primarily is in football, and so football players and coaches have that same anticipation. And then you're in your season. And when you get into the season, you get the highs and lows of anticipation. You got to prepare, you know, all the work that goes into it that people don't recognize. Just like getting this show lined up today, this is a terrific day of individuals that are involved in and love sports. And you've got them lined up on this day, and that's a great credit to you and your group there, your staff. And I'm just really happy to be with you on this first day. I, like everybody else, we need to get word out how everybody can get on and listen to you every day.
Coach, I went through like an opening day routine today, making sure everything was lined up and, you know, our technology was good and everything worked and all that. Did you have a routine on the first game or the first practice to make sure that you at least got it right that day?
Oh, my word. Checklist is my middle name. You know, they call me Grant Checklist Taft, you know. Everything has to be thought through, planned, and then executed, so the people watching or being involved outside, they think, my gosh, that's so easy, I could do it. But what you guys have to do to put on a daily show. All the guests that you have today, people don't realize that has to be lined up, worked out, schedule set, and it takes a lot of work behind the scenes to get that done. And I tell you what, this is a great show today, and as I told, Smoke, the big thing we got to do, because people want to listen to you guys, and we got to get the word out, is how they can do it. And I'm grateful that I'm going to be on the show, so now I know how to get you.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to have all that information. We'll keep pouring that out for everybody so that everybody absolutely has an opportunity to listen, and there's a variety of ways to do so, so we'll make sure and inform everyone. Coach, earlier in the show, we had Dave Aranda on, and he's kind of, you know, stuck on an island right now, having to wait this thing out like a lot of people are. He's still having video conferences with his assistant coaches and whatnot and recruiting and doing those types of things. But for him, what have you been able to kind of gather so far about Dave Aranda, and just how can you even, I guess, kind of wrap in your head around what they must be trying to do starting this version of the program with his likeness, you know, with his likeness and all that, and not having the ability to have, his players at his disposal in spring practices?
Well, I tell you, it's a unique thing that basically I've never seen in my coaching career, where we had the spring eliminated, because that's where you develop your players. That's so important. People don't realize how the off season and the spring practice is to football and to other sports in their particular time frame that they have their particular spring, so to speak, in. But this is really something that they have to adjust to. And see, the problem is you got freshmen that you think are going to be really, really good, and where you develop them, if they don't play in the fall, they're practicing in the fall, but the development comes in the spring. And so to miss that is really tough on the program and the players and the coaches, because they're missing that opportunity. I worry about the safety as we go into the fall next year, if we actually get to have a fall season. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I'm worried about right now, is what's going to happen, whether we'll have the fall or we'll not. And my prayer is that it'll clear up and that we can have football in the fall, and then the other sports would follow.
Things have changed dramatically, Coach. Grant Taft is our guest on Sikkim 365 Radio. From even what you could do back in the day when it was, spring drills, and then what you did in August, and a lot of it's changed because of what you can or cannot do because of contact and all that. But can you imagine the first year at you're at Baylor with what you had in front of you, and you couldn't have spring drills the first year, and you could not have perhaps even much conditioning or any off season?
Well, it's unimaginable in many ways because that's when you do your teaching. As I mentioned a moment ago, if you brought in a good freshman class and they have potentials, they've been through their freshman year, and then the development that they have between that freshman year and their sophomore year is the key to what kind of football program you're going to have, is the development of those young players that you've recruited. That's why the great programs go on year after year after year, is they bring in the great freshman classes, they have the opportunity to develop them, and then start playing them, working them in into the playing opportunities as their sophomores. So this is a tough thing on this sport. And then the extension of that I worry about is, are we going to be cleared by the fall to actually have our games? And that would be a disastrous thing for universities, for the players that are trying to develop and get their education, and for the coaches and for the fans as well. But we just have to pray that this thing is conquered enough that we can go forward with a somewhat of a normal life beginning in the fall.
How worried would you be as a coach that you have to have guys kind of working out on the honor system as well? You give them something to do, a nutrition package, but you can't be with them and they're at their home. They're not, checking in at 7 o'clock in the morning to do mat drills or lifts or anything like that either.
Well, it's a tough situation, and you really have to spend a lot of time selling each individual on their own personal accountability. We're going to be where we want to be this time next fall. You're going to have to follow this program on your own, or with maybe teammates that live close to you, or high school students that you know that you can work out with. But I'm telling you, it's a tremendous challenge. And if there is a fall, a schedule in the fall, then, and there's no spring practice, then those individuals, young men at these different schools, the ones that really take it to heart, apply themselves, pay attention to what they need to do to personally develop them, then you're going to see those teams are going to be winning next year in the spring and the fall.
Coach, can college athletics survive not having the money from the NCAA tournament, and then if there is no football?
Well, that's what I worry about, Smoke, very frankly, is spent a lot of years as an administrator as well as a football coach. And for all your athletics, there is a very important aspect of college football, and that it brings in a tremendous amount of money, both from television on the major schools, and then, of course, with the crowds that you draw, the tickets that you sell, the donations that are made to the scholarship funds. And if you're unable to have those fall games to get people excited about, it's just pretty human nature that we're not going to be able to bring in the money that we need to bring in to our university athletic programs.
Coach, if football does come back, and we don't know a timeline or anything like that, but with no spring practices and guys practicing on their own or working out on their own, for you as a head coach, if they were to start fall practices, how much time would be needed in your mind to allow teams enough time to get conditioned, get everything in order that they would need to actually compete at a high level in the course of a season?
Well, I think they'd need to add at least 15 days if they could and if they would, because the conditioning aspect, particularly if you miss spring practice, coming in, you've got your freshmen from the previous year. You've got your freshmen coming in this current year. And so you've got young players that have never played college football, and there's a big step up from high school to college. And so you need time for practice, physical development, and also the mental training that they have to have. And then when you start school, if you don't have time before school, then your time's limited when school starts. So Smoke asked me a question, I think it was Smoke, about what might happen. And there might be an extension of the opportunity to start practice earlier in the summer to help take up the slack for the loss of spring practice. They could limit it to conditioning and shorts and no pads and so forth. But that might be a possibility that would happen. If I were still involved in it, I would really look into that with the NCAA.
Coach, I don't even want to think about what would happen if it has to delay and they have to maybe cancel some games, of like which games you cancel and how you do that, because, you know, the first ones people would say, well, let's get rid of those guarantee games with the Division II schools or the 1AAs, FCS schools. Well, that's money in their budget that's just gone that they won't have anymore. There's so many like negative factors that come out of this.
It's a trickle-down effect. You know, if it happens on the upper level, and they do have to cancel games, and that falls right down, because many of these smaller schools make their big money of the year playing FBS level school. And everybody knows that. And, you know, sometimes they get crushed, and sometimes they'll get an upset every now and then. But most of the time, it's going to be a game that they're going to lose, but they're going to get a big paycheck that helps them set up their budget for the year for all athletics.
I'll wrap it up with this, and golly, this is a great way to as we start to close out this first show. I want to say this, and I'll ask you this question, and then I want to bring back something you and I spoke about a couple of weeks ago when there was the unknown for us. I just received this from dcarter299 on our on my Twitter page. By the way, my 17-year-old son is named Grant after the great man Grant Taft.
Well, that's what a honor, you know, that is. I've been blessed. I think the last count was 60-some-odd young people around the country are named Grant, and it's such an honor to me to have my name out there. That's my mother's last name, Smoke. You may not have known that. My mother was Inez Grant. Mm. And so my first name was my mother's last name. And so it kind of carries the honor back a long way to a lot of wonderful people.
Now, as you know, about 2.5-3 weeks ago, I picked up the phone and I called you.
Yeah.
And at that time, the three of us didn't have any idea what was next for us. And I called you because I knew that you would give me some inspiration. I knew you would give me the pep talk, and you did. And I got to tell everybody, what you told me was just go be who you are, go find it, and it happened. We are fortunate with this opportunity. But I wanted everyone to know that when I was calling you, I remember I was like driving through Airport Road near the airport and just – reaching out to you and having a chance to just get that from you, that important message from you. I appreciate you, because I've talked to you and Donnell a couple of three times, and it means a lot to us.
Well, let me tell you, Smoke, one of the things that I've learned through my life is that you can't hide talent, and you can't hide folks that really care about what they do. And so in my way of thinking, I knew that you'd find a place, because you have a heart for what you do. It's very clear in the way you do it, and you guys do an outstanding job. And I just want everybody to know where you are, because you got a lot of people that love to listen to you. And it's great to be on your show this early in your step in this direction. And I'm always available for you, Smoke.
We're doing everything we can. We have bigger plans to even be on more outlets and more options, and we will. And we're doing all that. And the ownership with Brian and Ashley and Colt and others, They're doing everything they possibly can, and believe me, it's only going to grow. And we'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure you know.
You bet. And you got a lot of folks out there that want this to grow. We want to be able to hear you and your shows and the guys that are there with you, how great a program you guys put on and how knowledgeable you are. And the guests that you have are terrific. So, except I won't say about this one, but most of them are pretty good.
Hey, there's
Hall of Fame lineup, Coach. Yeah, there's a Hall of Fame lineup.
There's a reason why. You know what? When they run the 4x100, who do they put at the end?
Yeah, the fastest guy.
Yeah,
that's
there
right.
You go.
The anchor leg.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Coach. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it very much. All right.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
That's another Hall of Famer in Grant Tapp. And I know a lot of you have sent either text messages, direct messages to me. There's some thoughts on the board. There's a chat room. We have a chat room.